Begin the current daf Maseftes Brachas daf Chaf Omer Aleph, where we begin with Taisa Divrei Maschal. Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara Sheval Tasa Shani, that sitting passively and not doing something, that's different, which Taisa is coming to explain why isn't the Gemara's question applicable also to the previous drushes of the Gemara from Nazir and Nazir Kohen Gadol, which this is a Machlikas Rashi and Taisa. So the Gemara had answered, you cannot learn out from the last drush of the Braisa from Malachisai, that we learn that even if someone's going to slaughter his carbon Pesach, that he still has to make himself tummy for a mace mitzvah because of the kavod abrius. We give the dignity of the dead person. You cannot learn out from there that the kavod that we have to give for a person overrides other isurim, and therefore then to say, okay, if someone's wearing klayim in the street, which was the original halacha that we started in the previous daf, that you wouldn't have to take off your clothing, the Gemara says, no, you cannot learn out from there. Because generally, like the Gemara said, ein etzav ein tvunel neged Hashem, no, you cannot override halacha for a person's dignity. But here you have a biblical law that's being overridden for the dignity of a dead person, for a person. So that's what the Gemara answered, no, shevat tasa shami. Passively, you're not doing something, not violating the halacha, the biblical law, actively, that because you're just not bringing the Karban Pesach, that's where we say that that's going to override. But however, if someone is actively doing the Isra, like wearing klayim, the wearing of the garment is considered an activity, that we're still going to say, as we said in the previous stuff, that that's not going to override biblical law. So that was the Gemara's answer. But says Taisa Vim Taman, if you're going to say, Taisa asks us to say, take a second look. Okay, fine. That was regarding the last drasha. But go back to the previous drashas. Nazir b'kayin gadol, if the person's a nazir and a kayin gadol, those cases, why didn't the Gemara ask from that? Kum asehu, that is someone who's actively getting up and violating an iser di tami lameis. We have the nazir kayin gadol who are actively violating. What happens is that the Bryce is telling us, if someone's a kohen gadol and a nazir, and there's a mes mitzvah, he'll become tummy to the mes mitzvah. So you see that kavod abrius, which is for the dignity of the mes, a person is actively violating his biblical commandment as a kohen gadol and a nazir, not to become tummy. And when he goes and he buries the dead person, he's doing it with a kumbaseh. So what are you answering from the last drush of Lachaisai? Oh, that's Shevat Tasashani. What do you mean? We do have a question regarding the same case of Klayim of the previous daf. You have a case of Kumbaseh, and still you're going and you're violating the biblical commandment for Kavod HaBris, for the Kavod of the Mess. So Taisa brings the Tirutz Rashi, as our Rashi has it. He answers the question. He says, no, the reason why is the Kra, the Pasuk of before Lachaisai, La'achiv, which from that we learn out this halacha, that even if it's a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir, he could become Tamei for Mess Mitzvah. Rashi has a lumdus over here. He says, no, Goli Lan, what the Pasuk is revealing to us with the word, the extra word, Al-Achav, which tells us that Rasham, is telling us actually, Delav de lo yitame, this negative prohibition that tells us that the Kohen Gadol and the Nazir should not become Tamei, lo yinem regabi meis mitzvah, it wasn't said in the context, in regards to a mes mitzvah. Meaning, the way it's coming out from the logic of what Rashi's saying is, what he means to say is that when these individuals, the Kohen Gadol and the Nazir, is metamei to mes mitzvah, it's not like he's violating a prohibition at all. So therefore, you cannot bring a proof over here like Taisus is asking. Oh, you see that Kavod HaBrius overrides negative prohibitions because it's not overriding. It's not doiche the mitzvah. It was never said. There is no iser of being metamei to mes as a Kohen Gadol or a Nazir in the context of a mes mitzvah. So therefore, you don't have a source, as was the question of Taisus, to see that even by Kumbaseh, you're going to override the Isser for Kavod HaBrius. Now, Taisus asks us to take a second look, and he says, well, this doesn't seem correct. Because the Imkain, Taisus says, if that's the case, if that's how Rashi is answering the question with such a logic, with such a svara, then Kamakam Damrin, and then anywhere that you say, Ashaseh Dechalaisaseh, we have many times, and the Gersa takes out the next few words, we have many times in Shas that we say, oh, Aseh Dechalaisaseh, the positive commandment overrides a negative prohibition. Says Taisus, how you calling it that it overrides? I could tell you, no, maybe a positive commandment does not override a negative prohibition. Because you cannot say the concept of Aseh Dechal Aseh. Because all the sources that like the Gemara and Yevamos brings, I could tell you that it's not overriding. It's telling you that in those positive commandments, the negative prohibition wasn't said, which is the same lumdus as what Rashi's saying over here, that no, you're not finding that you have a kumbaseh of kavod habris, of kavod hames, that you're overriding the biblical prohibition of a kohen gadol and nazir becoming tamei. It wasn't said over there. And then everywhere you could say that it's not deich, it just wasn't said. But moreover, Taisus proves that there is such a concept of deichel loisaseh, and not that it wasn't said. because the mila b'tamid of Pesach, you have certain halachas, circumcision, bringing the daily sacrifice in the Beis Hamikdash to Korban Pesach, the dachu Shabbos, which the halach is that they override the prohibition of doing malach on Shabbos, k'namrin on perkei l'devarim, like the Gemara Pesachim says, Dav Samach Tesma Beis, says Taisus Amma, so obviously you see the mikri shaper dechia, that it's called an overriding. It's not like Rashi's concept that he's saying that, oh, it was never said the mitzvah in such a case and was totally permitted. No, we see from the Gemara Pesachim that's called overriding. And if it's called overriding, so then how does Rashi know to give this answer to say that no, it's not overriding over here, and therefore don't ask so the same thing should apply to Klaim. It's just like in Yiddish, it's never gezokavar, and how do you know it was never said in such a context? So Ella rather Taisa disagrees with Rashi, and he says, near it would seem that the correct interpretation, why don't we learn out from the case of Kohen Gadol of Anazir? Seemingly, that was a good question, like Taisa is saying, now that you know Rashi's answer, that there you have a kumva say, it's not just like the Gemara answer, Shebat Tasa, you have a biblical commandment that will override for the Kavod HaMetz, for Kavod HaBrias, says Taisa is for a different reason. It's because each one of them has a leniency. So therefore, since they have a leniency, you cannot learn that to other places that don't have that leniency, to again, have a leniency that you'll override a biblical commandment, even with a kumva say. What is the leniencies of Nazir and Kohen Gadol? So it says, the Nazir, like, I mean, you cannot learn that from the case of the Nazir, because the Mala Nazir, we find the leniency by the Nazir, Shekin Yeshna B'Sheila, that the Nazir could go ahead and he could ask a sage and undo his Nazir, as the Gemara says in Yevamos of Ham and Aleph, which you don't have that by other Yisurim, so maybe only over there the leniency applies that you could override with a Kumbah, say, a biblical commandment. And the Chayim Kain, so too from the Kain, because you can learn out from the Kain Mala Kain, we find that it's considered leniency, Shekin Lav She'en Shav Bakel. The negative prohibitions are negative prohibitions that don't apply to all the Jewish people. They only apply to the Kohanim. Therefore, that's a limitation, and therefore, in a sense, a leniency, and therefore, you cannot learn out from there to other Yisurim to say that you could even override a biblical commandment to Kumbah say for a covered up Brias. So, ultimately, what Taisa told us that from Rashi, he said you cannot learn out from the case of Kohen Gadol and the Nazir that they are tamei from Mes Mitzvah, even though it's a biblical commandment and it's being done with a Kumbah say. Rashi says no, because the lav of lo yitame was not said in the context of a mes mitzvah, so it's not overriding, it just never was said. But Taisa explained that no, the reason why you cannot learn out from the negative prohibition of the Kohen Gadol and the Nazir is because both of those have certain leniencies than other Isurim, than other lavim. The lav of the Kohen is not by all the Jewish people, and the lav of the Nazir is permitted to be undone. You could ask, and you could be shayla on the neder, and therefore again, you cannot bring that proof to other contexts that don't have those leniencies, and therefore we don't know a source, as our Gemara is saying, by Kumbah Seba, biblical commandment, the Gemara said you would have to take off the klayim in the street, as we learned in the previous stuff. Now continuing, the next taisa, the Bimaschal, taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, which actually in Mishnah Masechtas Ugtzin, Zeisim Shekavashin Bitarfein, if you went and preserved the olives with their leaves, so then Tacharim, then they're going to be tar. Which taisa is coming to explain, what's the reason why in those situations the yadayim, the handles of the olives, the leaves, that doesn't mean guitar, which the machlikas Rashi and taisa. The Gemara brought from that Mishnah in Uktzen that you have the olives that would pickle with the leaves, that they're going to be tar. So taisa brings that Pirush HaKuntras Rashi explains, kivain, it's a reasoning, kivain the kavashan bikder, since they were pickled, they were preserved in the pot, so betela materis yad, so that actually nullifies the leaf from having the halachic status as a handle, lehebi tumah, which generally what happens is that the handle of a food item is makabel tumah, but other things that are not, like a leaf, is not. But if it's a shimer, if it's protecting the fruit, or if it's a handle for the fruit, so then it's also able to contract the tumah and convey it with the fruit itself. But when it's pickled, so then it falls apart. So it's, you can't even use it as a handle. You cannot hold on to the olive with the leaf. So therefore, that says Rashi, therefore now it's not going to be mekabel tumah anymore because it does not have the halachic status as a yad anymore. But says Taisus, Belayni here, that does not seem to be appropriate, the interpretation. Because he says, Dimkain, if that would be the case, my hide the kamar law, then what would be the understanding of what it says over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin? The Mishnah itself says, what's the reason why it's going to be tahar now the leaves, is because shalei nichbashu ela lamar, because it was only preserved only for its appearance, it just makes it look good. Says Taisus, according to Rashi, manasinus tamyesh, where is there a reasoning over here? The betlina materis yad, that it's being nullified from being considered as a handle, according to Rashi, it's not that it's being only done for its appearance, that's not the reason why it makes it tar. Rashi says the reason why it's tar, because it's not a handle anymore, because you pickle it, it gets soft and starts falling apart, so it's not a handle. But that's not what the Mishnah itself says. The Mishnah itself says makes it sound like it's tar, because you're only pickling it for a reason of appearances, it just makes it look good. But according to Rashi, how is that explaining the reason? So the Kachner Lafarish rather says Taisa, therefore it would seem to explain the tahirim, you want to know why the leaves are tahar? Is mishum the eisen alum, because those leaves, loicheshivi eichel, they're not considered as a food item. Shein and ruin lachila, because they're not fit to be considered as a food item, elai de eisa kivisha bekterah, only by being pickled in the pot. Meaning, to the contrary, Taisa says, no, this idea of the leaves being pickled that with the olives, to the contrary, that actually would be the reasoning that would make it be able to mekabel tumah. Taisa is not explaining it as the concept of a yad. He's saying that are we evaluating it as a food item itself? So generally, the leaf is not eaten like an olive. So therefore, it's not a food item, and therefore would not be mekabel tumah. It's actually only if you pickle it. Oh, pickled leaf. So then it's going to be edible, and therefore then it actually would be mekabel tumah. But that's when Mishnah comes to say, but shaloi nich b'shu ela lamara, but since you're only pickling it for its appearance, kolema. Mashakavasha al niman, this that actually what people do while they're preserving it with the leaves, is loi kavshan ela laharisha zesim no mechadoshim. The reason why they're pickling it like that is just to make the olives look beautiful and new. That's why they're pickling it. U'mishum hachi tahar, and that is why they're tahar. Because to the contrary, the pickling would make it good, but that's only if your intention is to make it into a food item. But since your intention is only for its appearances and not to make it as a food item, so although maybe one could actually eat it, but that's not your intention, but that's not going to make it yet into an eichel, and therefore it's tahar. Aval, but says Taisus, kavshan lias ruin lachilif. The reason why you pickled it, why you're preserving it, is so that now you could the leaves are edible. So then says Taisus, yes, mishah shiyu misukan lias achilif. And the moment that it's now fixed, that it already has an edible stage, actually says Taisus, then to me, actually then it would be makabel tumah. So that's the different interpretations that Rashi says, is that this pickling actually is what makes it tahar, because it's not going to be able to be used as a yad anymore. Taisa says, no, to the contrary. What we're saying is that the zesim shekavashim b'tarfehim would actually is what would generally make it tummy, because then it would be edible. Tahayim is like the Mishnah continues over there. Why? Because they're not doing it for the eating purposes. Shalei nechbeshu el lamara, they're only doing it for its appearance, and therefore they're not making it into an oichel, into a food item. Now, continuing the next Taisa, the Ramaskal, Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, Tlesa Mesifta, which Taisa come to explain what does it mean, 13 mesiftas, which the Gemara brought from Rabbi Yehuda, that he says, why is it that the previous generations, that they had so many miracles, and we don't, and we're much greater in Torah learning, where we learn mesiftas Hilksin with Tlesa Mesifta. So Taisa brings the Yesh Mefarshim, those who want to explain, what does it mean we have 13 mesiftas? Tlesa Yeshivas Yesh Banu, we have 13 schools, Shebekin, that are proficient in mesiftas Hilksin. And they couldn't even figure out what the Mishnah Uksin means. Now Taisa says, but Tleis Alav Dafka, this that it was said that we have 13 yeshivas was not specific. El Lashon HaRagel BeGemara, that's just a terminology used commonly in the Gemara, Kamoi, like we find in the example of Chul Memdal Mabez, Tleis Zuzi Pshiti, where that's a story by Rabbi Bachana that he said that a certain animal was kosher. And to prove the point, he went and he bought it with 13 zuz to show that he's going to eat from it, to show that it's kosher. Which it uses 13 of these types of coins, which again is just a common number that was used. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we have 13 yeshivas, but we have many yeshivas that are learning, and therefore we're much better in Torah learning than them. However, Virashi, Pirish bin Yachar, Taisa brings that Rashi gives a different interpretation. As he brings in our Gemara, Rashi says that it means to say that we could interpret it in 13 different ways. So again, Tlesa Mesifta either means 13 yeshivas, or it means in 13 different interpretations, better than the previous generations, but still we don't get miracles because we're not mais and nefesh like Kiddush Hashem like they were. Now, continuing the next taste of the Masal, this begins with the words of the Gemara, the Ketanim, with the words of the Mishnah, the Ketanim Ptur Mikrishma, and minors, they're exempt from Krishma. So Taisa comes to explain which type of a minor are we talking about, which is the Machlekes Rashi and Taisa. In the Mishnah we brought, besides women and slaves, that Ketanim minors are part of Mikrishma. So Taisa brings that Pirsha Kuntras to Rashi explain, which type of minor are we talking about? Even a katan shegila chinuch, even a minor that already reached the age of chinuch, which is to inaugurate him and train him that he has to do all the mitzvahs in the Torah. However, he's exempt from kriyishma. Why? Because Rashi explains that they did not impose upon the father the obligation of having his son say kriyishma, even though he's already the age of chinuch, is because the father's not always around the child at those times to obligate the father to have the child do those mitzvahs. So even though he's a gila chinuch, he's going to be part of him kriyishma. But Taisa asks us to take a second look, and he says, "V'lein nehira." No, this does not seem to be the correct interpretation. And he says, "Because the perikul of Gazel, we have Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Amrina, the Gemara tells us over there that Katan Hayadei Lishma Tefillin. If a minor already knows how to watch his tefillin, to be careful with the laws of tefillin, of chayiv liknas le tefillin. So his father has to buy from tefillin. So Alma says, Taisus, one thing we see from that Gemara is Keshagila Chinuch, when the child reaches the age of Chinuch, the Shaychi Beit Tfilin, which he's already applicable in the laws of Tfilin. So Chay Beit Tfilin, we see that he's obligated in Tfilin, which that's actually the other case of our mission that we said that they're exempt from, which we said that the women and the children, they're exempt from Krishma and from Tfilin. We see, but when he reaches the age of Chinuch, then he's obligated. So ubekriyishma nami yesh lechayiv yoisim istamis. So Taisa says, and for sure, if we're saying that by tefillin he's obligated, which is the age of chinuch, for sure the other case of our mission that we're discussing right now, by kriyishma, for sure we should say that he's obligated when he reaches the age of chinuch, and more than the halacha of tefillin. And what's the proof that it's more than that? Because min ashkech hanhasim, we find over there in the Gemara that tefillin, okay, maybe when the child's a little bit older and he knows how to keep his body clean, so okay, when he's older, even though he's not yet bar mitzvah, he's a gila chinuch, he's going to be obligated. But by saying the parashas of Kriya Shema, the Gemara says, katan haydela daber, a child that just starts knowing how to speak, of malam day Torah, already at that young age, a father teaches his son Torah, upasik rishon shel Kriya Shema, and he already starts teaching him already the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. You see how important is the chinuch of the parashas of Shema. So therefore, Taisa says, it's obvious that when he reaches at least the age of chinuch, for sure then he's going to be obligated in all the three parashas of Kriya Shema, which is the halacha of our Mishnah of Kriya Shema. So therefore, because of this question, Taisa disagrees with Rashi. And says, Vanilla Rabbeinu Tam, it appears to Rabbeinu Tam, the interpretation of our Mishnah that says that the cotton is exempt from Kriyishma is the Meir B'Katan Shulohigi L'Chinuch. It's only if the child did not yet reach the age of Chinuch. But if he's already at Chinuch age, then he's going to be obligated in the Halach of Kriyishma. Now, however, Miu, however, says Taisis, Seifa, the end of the Mishnah, I mean, the beginning of the Mishnah was saying the cases that women, slaves, and minors are exempt from certain mitzvahs. And then the Seif of the Mishnah was saying what they're obligated. So, although the Rishon Mishnah was saying is talking about a cotton shalegi lechinuch, but says Taisa say for the end of the Mishnah, the Tani that said the chayav mitzvah and these categories they're obligated in davening in Shemayne Esrei. So on that says Taisa hayuri retzayin alayim. The Ri, one of the Balak Taisas, he wanted to say the mayor b'cotton shalegi lechinuch. That obviously must be talking about. Although the Rishon was talking about cotton shalegi lechinuch, the Sefer must be talking about when he's obligated in tefillah is a minor that already reached the age of chinuch. Because says the Ri the ilo higia. If he hasn't yet reached the age of chinuch, like the case of the Reisha, loy havalu l'chayiv b'tefillah, then we should not have obligated him in davening Shemayne Esrei. Because if he's a minor, so then why would we go ahead and obligate him? He's not obligated in mitzvahs. So therefore, the Reish says, yeah, although the Reish is talking about shalei higil chinuch, the Sefer must be talking about that he's a higil chinuch. Says Taisus, b'balei nehira, but that doesn't seem to be correct. Because since both the Reisha that's talking about the exemptions and the Sefer that's talking about the obligations, we have both of them are talking about the minors. So the imkain, if that's the case, so when the Reisha says Peturin, Lahavalu Katanim Dumi Dinashim Avadim, as the Gemara many times asks, that when you have a few different cases in one halacha, then they're usually similar. Chayav Shayt V'Katan, they're all similar. So here, you're talking about women, slaves, and minors. The way the Re is interpreting the case of the minors is not similar to the case of the women and the slaves. Because they are Shebeturin Bechalinyan, women as slaves are exempt in all types of situations. So, like we said, the mitzvah is Magrama, they're never obligated in Kriya Shema. Now, whereas the Ketanim, but the minors, Einam Beturim, it's coming out, they're not exempt. Ela B'Shalei Higia, only if they didn't yet reach the age of Chinuch, and V'Eini Deilish Mitzvah, if he doesn't know how to watch his Tefillin. But if he's reached the age of Chinuch and he knows how to watch his Tefillin, then he's going to be Chayav in Kriya Shema. Well, that's not exactly the same as the other cases that it's said with. So therefore, Taisa brings it appears Rabbeinu Tam gives a different interpretation, as we're going to explain, that avoids the question that Taisa is asking on the Re. The Vadi Ari HaKol, says Taisa from the Rabbeinu Tam, that definitely all the cases of the Mishnah, when it's talking about Bekotten, when it's talking about a minor, is Shaloh Higil Chinuch, that hasn't yet reached the age of Chinuch. Wait a second, but then the Chayavin, the Sefer, then what do you do with the Chayavin at the end? You can't say a minor that has not yet reached the age of chinuch that he has to daven, because we don't obligate a young child that hasn't reached the chinuch age, whatever that chinuch age for that mitzvah, to be obligated in something. How could you say he's obligated in tefillah, which was why the Re had to say that it's tumar katan shegil chinuch? Says Rabbi Natam, no. When it says chayavin at the end, koy anashim avadim l'chud is only going on women and slaves. Ava katanim, but minors, p'turim mikol v'kol. That it wasn't going on, the Chayav Mitzvah was not going on that they're obligated, it was only going on Nashim Avadim, it was not going on minors. Because minors that we're talking about in the Mishnah, yeah, they're exempt from Tefillah totally. Kivin de Legi Lechinuch, because what's the case that we're talking about according to Rabbeinu Tam? in Rabbeinu Tam, the only cases that our Mishnah talking about when it mentions a cotton is Tomas Shalegi Lechinuch. Yes, cotton Shalegi Lechinuch is going to be putter from Tefillah and not going to be Chayiv in Tefillah. And therefore, that's why the question that Taisa asked on the Re is not difficult in Rabbeinu Tam, because, like he's explaining, the Sefer of the Mishnah is not talking about minors when it talks about Chayavim. So therefore, it is the same thing. Whenever it mentions in the Mishnah, Ketanim, it's always talking about Shalei Gi Lechinach. Now, but Taisa still asks the same question, really, on Rabbeinu Tam. But says Taisa, if you're going to say, wait a second, Im Kain, if that's the case that you're saying that minors are exempt from Tefillah, Samai Tana Ketanim Bahadi Nasham Avadim, why was the case of Ketanim said with the women and the slaves? Kivin de'in shavin. Ultimately, they're not the same in all their halachas. Kedaprish is like we explained, because, first of all, that they're exempt from tefillah. And moreover, is that we're saying that actually their exemption from Kriyat Shema is not in totality like it is by Nashma Avadim. It's only when they're lohi gi lechinach. But when they're gi lechinach, you see that it has a different halacha. How could you say Ketanim as a general rule is the same as similar to Nashma Avadim in the exemption from Kriyat Shema? So says Taisav Yishlam, what you could say is it's not difficult. Because Kein Derech HaTana, that's actually the normative of the Tanoim in the Mishnah is, L'shanas Yachat, to teach together, Nashim V'avodim U'ketanim Shlegi L'chinach. Meaning, when it mentions women, slaves, and minors, it means minors as a categorical example of that has not yet reached the age of chinach. So although, yes, it's possible that when he reaches chinach, it's going to be a different halacha, but that's still a category in its own right when Shalegi Lechinach. Kamai, like Tais says, like you have a proof, you find the Mishnah Masech the Sukkot of Chavches and Alf says, Nashim v'avodim u'ketanim b'tur m'sukkah. Women, slaves, and minors are exempt from the halachas of Sukkah. Now, in spite of the fact that when the minor reaches the age of Chinach, his father has to actually train him in sitting in the Sukkah, still, you see that it's considered in the same category, because when we say Ketanim, we mean Ketanim Shalegi Lechinach. Therefore, that's also over here. Yes, wherever it says, according to Rabbeinu Tam in our Mishnah Ketanim, it means Shalegi Lechinach. It's not that the safe is different than the ratio. And therefore, it's not difficult. Oh, so wait a second. How is it dum yud lo nashim ba'abodim? It's really the same thing, because ketanim shalegi lechinach, it's its own category, as we find elsewhere that we put it in its own category. And if it's totality, shalegi lechinach is always going to be exempt from kriyat shema and exempt from tefillah, because the safe that says chayav mitfilah, like we said, was actually only on nashim ba'abodim. So what we had, the opinions we had in our Taisus was that Rashi explains that actually this halacha of ketan p'tur mekriyish, Rashi says, is even shegi lechinach. This is different than many other mitzvahs, because they did not impose upon the father to be mechanach his child in kriyishma, because he's not always next to him by zman kriyishma. But regarding tefillah, as Rashi learns, the sefer of the Mishnah was going on the case of ketanim. When he's shegi lechinach, then the father's going to be obligated. The Re explained that the resha that says that a cotton is part from kriyishma is only told my cotton shelo shegi lechinach. And therefore, he has to explain that the sefer that says that they're going to be chayiv in tefillah must be talking about a cotton, a different type of a case that was a gi lechinach. Now, Rabbeinu Tam explains, to answer like the question Taisus had on the Re, that no, all the cases of our Mishnah, when we're talking about a cotton and other places in the Shas too, is talking about a cotton shalei gi lechinach. This that the sefer said that they're chayiv in tefillah was not going on the case of a ketanim, was only going on the case of nashim v'vadim, because ketanim, since we're talking about shalei gi lechinach, are not chayiv in tefillah. Now we continue on to Amud Beis, where we begin with Taisus Divrei Maskil. Taisus begins with the words of the Gemara, "B'tefillah, you're telling me that they're chayiv in tefillah? Pshita, obviously." Says the Gemara, "No. Ki even nechsev, since it says in the pasuk, 'Erev avayke b'tzarayim asicha ve'amo,' in the evening and the morning and in the afternoon, I talk and I moan," which is referring to tefillah. So kemitzas aseches mangarama hava, I would say that essentially, tefillah is like a time-bound positive commandment because it has certain set times. Ma'ariv, Shacharis, and Mincha. Kamash Shalom, that's what the Mishnah had to teach you, that no, derach mininu, that it's considered beseeching mercy, and therefore women are going to be obligated in tefillah. So Taisus come to explain the girsa, which the Gemara thought that women are going to be exempt from tefillah because it's a mitzvah seshes man grama, which the machlig is Rashi and Taisus. We learned in the Mishnah that women are obligated in tefillah. So Taisus girsa in the Gemara is that tefillah, you have to tell me that women are obligated? Obviously, why would we say not? So that the Gemara answers, because since it says erev avayke b'tzarayim, I would say it's like a mitzvah seshes man grama. So that's why kamash malan that the rachminin, which is since tefillah is beseeching mercy, so women also need to have rachmin, and therefore they're obligated and in tefillah. Now Taisus points out that v'rashi legarisle, Rashi explicitly says not to have the girsa in the Gemara of this question and answer. And Rashi says why. He says, Shari Tefillah, because what are we discussing over here? We're discussing Tefillah. And Rashi's opinion is, Derabbanahi, it's rabbinic. Umay mitzvah to say Shaychibay, and therefore, how does it apply an element of a mitzvah to say, meaning, if it's only rabbinic, by rabbinic mitzvah, Rashi holds, it doesn't apply the element of an exemption of mitzvah to say Shazman Gurama. That's only regarding biblical commandments. And therefore, even if it was a mitzvah to say, Midrabbanan Shazman Gurama, women would be obligated. So therefore, says Rashi, you can't have this girsa. Now, even so, according to Rashi, it makes sense why the Gemara has to tell us that women are obligated in tefillah, because it's mercy, because if not, we would have said that, as Marsha explains, that the Rabbanan did not institute tefillah for women. But that's what we're saying. No, we instituted tefillah for women because of its rachmim. But still, it doesn't make sense to ask Pshita and answer, no, it's not so pasha, because you would have thought mitzvah shazman gurama. It's a rabbinic halacha, rabbinic law was not divided up into this concept of mitzvah shazman gurama. That was only said for biblical law. And therefore, he deletes that girsa. Now, however, Teza disagrees. Says, Makamakam, however, so Teza, yesh li ashab, no, you could resolve this girsa. And Teza proves the point, not like the idea that Rashi was working with. Because the hohal, you have the mitzvah of saying hal, dirabbanan, which that is a rabbinic mitzvah. And yet still we find with Nashim Baturis that women are exempt from saying hal mehai time. From this same idea, the mitzvah cessation around Garamahu, because it comes at specific times when we have to say hal. And as Taisa proves, Kedemim Mesukah, we find Mesef the Sukkah, Taflam Achesim and Alf. The Gemara tells us that Misha Hoya Evid Veisha Ekan. If someone had a slave or a woman or a minor that was makronized, that was saying the hal for him, so the halacha is that oina achareyin mashahim oimrim. The one who's listening, the man who's hearing the woman say the halal for him, it's not enough just to listen. He has to repeat after them the same words that they're saying. Why? Because the ena shemeya patam ikriyasin, because the one who's hearing is not exempt from the woman's reading of the halal, or the slave or the minor. Kimin shein peturim, because they're exempt from the halach of halal. Why they exempt? Because it's a time-bound commandment. So says Taisa, you see that even though it's a mitzvah drabbanan, it is applicable to exempt of mitzvah sasesh as mount gurama. If so, says Taisa, so that works well with the girsa that we brought, that when the Gemara asks, well, it's obvious that the chayav in tefillah, the Gemara says, no, you would have thought to say that the pata because it's a mitzvah sasesh as mount gurama. Yes, even though tefillah is a rabbinic mitzvah, you find the same thing by hal that they are exempt if it's a time-bound commandment, and therefore you have to say that, no, kamashmon, that they're going to be chayav because it's rachminim. Now continuing the next Taisa, the Ramaschal Taisa begins with the words, which he adds on the words, is the garza, that those that have the text in the Gemara, that the Gemara's question is, as we have, the Birchas HaMazon, you have to tell me that they're going to be obligated in Birchas HaMazon, Pshita, it's obvious. So Taisa comes to explain the garza that's asking this question, that, oh, it's obvious that the Chayv in Birchas HaMazon, which the Mishnah said that women are obligated in benching. So Taisa brings that there are those who have a garza in the Gemara, which is as our garza in our Gemara, in other words, it's obvious that they're chayiv because it's not a time-bound commandment. Why would you think they're not obligated? And on that Taisus brings, which is the gears that we have, a Mishani, and the Gemara answers that question, that no, since it says in the Pasuk, b'seis Hashem lechem, and God gives to you be'erev basal lechel, in the evening he's going to give you meat to eat, v'lechem abeik l'sbaya, and he's going to give you bread in the morning to be satiated, so commits a satiation to my grandma. You would think, therefore, that eating bread meal, which is that's when you make the Birchas HaMazon after that, that's like a time-bound commandment because you see that the time for bread is in the morning, whereas in the evening. So it is a set time, so therefore it is a Zman Gurama. Kamash Blan, that's what the Gemara had to tell you, that the Mishnah had to tell you that no, that it's not considered a mitzvah Zman Gurama, and you're going to be chayiv, the women are going to be chayiv in Birchas HaMazon. Now continuing the next Taisa, the Ramaslam, this begins with the words of the Gemara that, although as we just said, just before, the Nashim b'Birchas HaMazon, women are obligated in Birchas HaMazon, but the Gemara asks, the Raisa Eidrabana, is that biblical or is that rabbinic? And Taisa can explain, why would you think that's not biblical, which is a machlokes Rashi and Taisa. That is, the Gemara brought that Ravina asked Tarava, is the obligation of women to say Birchas HaMazon, is that biblical or rabbinic? So Pirsha Kuntras Rashi explains, why would you think that it's not biblical? It's not a mitzvah such as Mangarama, as we just proved in the previous Taisis. Why would you think it's only rabbinic? So Rashi explains, because the Saga Daidach, you would think to say, Dolei Mechayvim Edereise, they're not biblically obligated by women, B'shem Nechziv, because the Pesach says, Allah Aretz HaTaiva, that on the good land which Asher Nasalach, that God has given you. Now, v'noshim loynot l'chelik baretz. Women did not take a portion. It wasn't divided amongst the women. Now, they get it because it's with their husbands, with their fathers, but they didn't get their own portion. Therefore, you can't really say birchas hamazon and say, Allah aretz atay v'shenosan lach. And Rashi even says, u'mashenot l'b'nei tzlavchad. Oh, but we find that there were women that took a portion of land. Those are the daughters of tzlavchad. And that says, Rashi, no, chelik avim not. No, they took their father's portion, but it wasn't their own portion. It was from him. So therefore, that's why you would think that maybe they cannot say birchas hamazon midday ra'isam. Now, on that test, asks us to take a second look, and this is retain. But that's a wonder. If it's as Rashi saying that the reason why you would say it's not biblical for the women is because it's dependent on getting a portion in the land of Eretz Yisrael, so then Kahanim v'Levim nami Tibayis, then says Taisus, then the Gemara should have asked the question not only for women, it should have asked us regarding Kahan Levim. Shari leinot luchelik ba'aretz, Kahan Levim also didn't take a portion in the land of Israel. Vim Kain, if that's the case, lo yitziu achim edichavasim brechasamazim, the same nafkamin that the Gemara says of the question as it relates to women should apply to Kahan Levim too, that they shouldn't be able to fulfill another Yisrael's brechasamazim obligation, because maybe by them it's only rabbinic, because they can't also say Allah arta tevesh anosanot, because they didn't get a portion there, it's Yisrael. Eliyahu Shlomer rather Taisus disagrees with Rashi and gives a different interpretation. Says the time of Mishnah Chasib, the reason why we would have assumed that they're not biblically obligated is because of a different verse that we say in Berachas Hamazon. It says in the pasuk Al Barischa Shechasamtu Bivsareinu that we thank you Hashem for the covenant that you sealed in our flesh, which is Bris Mila. V'Tayraschah Shemadatano and the Torah that you taught us. Now V'Nashim Lesna, women don't have either one of these two. Labor Bris, they don't have the Bris, the covenant of circumcision. But Labor Torah, neither do they have the obligation to learn Torah. Now V'Amrin L'Kamon, the Gemara tells later on the Mem Tesamet Aleph that Mishlam of Bris V'Tayra Berachas Hamazon, whoever does not say these two elements of the Bris Mila and Torah in benching, he's not fulfilled his obligation. So therefore, Vahashta Kame Baile. So that's the Gemara's question. Since women cannot say that because they don't have the Bris Mila and they don't have the learning of Torah, so therefore they have an element of Rabbanan. So that was the option of saying, so maybe their obligation is only rabbinic. Maybe that no, since it's not something that they have that's applicable to them. They don't have the commandment of learning Torah. They don't have the aver to do the Bris Mila. So have a Shabbat day Raisa. So yeah. So therefore, it would be a biblical obligation for them to say Birchas Hamazon, because this that they're not saying is not a chesaron. It's not a lacking, because it's just not applicable to them. But therefore, the element of Birchas Hamazon of day Raisa would apply to them. And v'hadlo kamam, but what do you do with what that the Gemara says later on, the Memtez, that if you don't say Bris and Torah, you have not fulfilled your obligation, but they can't say that. Myri ba nashim, we would explain that that's only told by men, the Shaykh of Bris and Torah, who there have that element of Bris and Torah. And if they don't say, they haven't fulfilled the obligation. Women who cannot say it, you're right, they won't say that, but they'll say the rest of Berachas Hamazon, because they don't have that obligation. And therefore, that was the Gemara's question according to Taisus, is women's obligation in Berachas Hamazon Deiraisu, or is it Deraban? Now, we continue in the next Taisus, the Rimasl. Taisus begins with the words of the Mishnah that says that Balkeri, a man who had a seminal omission, Mahar Baliboy. So when it comes to Krishma, he's not going to say the words. He's just going to think it in his heart. And Ve'en Mavarach Loy Lefenei B'Loy Lachra. He's not going to make the Birchas Krishma, not before the Parashah Shema, and not the Birchas Krishma that comes afterwards. So Taisus comes to explain what's the reason why they permitted the Balkeri to think of the words of Shema, but not in the Birchas Shema. And that is, like we said, the Mishnah says that the Balkeri is going to think the words of Shema in his heart, but he's not going to make the brachas before or after. So Taisus explains, Pirish. So when we're saying that he does not make the Birchas Krishma before and after, obviously that's Afila Behira. That's even he doesn't think those Birchas Krishma, Kedemashim B'Gemar, like it sounds like from the Gemara, because the Gemara is explaining that the obligation of the Krishma is that we're saying that he does do is Baliboy. So obviously when you're saying that you don't make the brachas before and after, means to say even Behira. So as Taisus explains, says behind the time, so what's the reason the Sharina Tfei B'Krishma Mibracha? So why are we more lenient regarding the parasha of Shema that we permit you to and obligate you to think of the words in your heart of the Shema, but not the Birchas Krishma? So Mishum the Krishma, the Raisa, because the parasha of Shema is a biblical commandment, Ubrachas Rabbanan, and Brachas only rabbinic. So therefore, regarding the biblical obligation, that we make you think, but regarding the rabbinic obligation of Brachas, that we're not going to make you think. Now, moreover, says Taisus, Navafilaman Dama Krishma Drabbanan, even according to the opinion that's brought elsewhere in the Gemara, that holds that Krishma is only rabbinic. So then we're back to the question, if Krishma is only rabbinic, so why is it any different, as we're finding in our Mishnah from the Tandikama, from Birchas Krishma, the Birchas Krishma that we do obligate you to be Mahar and not Birchas Krishma? So Taisus still answers, because even that opinion that holds that the Krishma is rabbinic, that's only if you already mentioned elsewhere the concept about leaving Egypt. Of Masnitin, but the Allah of our Mishnah is talking about Shalih Hiskitis Mitzrayim. It's talking about that this Balkari did not mention the concept of leaving Egypt. How do we know that? Because we didn't permit him to say Emes V'yatzim. Meaning, as the Gemara elsewhere explains, that even the one who says that, let's say you have a suffix or grant a krishma, you're not going to say it over because it's rabbinic, that's only because the biblical obligation of Yitzis Mitzrayim, you're mentioning with the parish of Emes V'yatzim. The thing is, however, we just said in the Mishnah, as recorded in the Tais Devei Maschil, that no, we don't let you say Birchas Krishma. You're not saying the Birchas Krishma after of Emes V'yatzim. So, therefore, you have not fulfilled yet your mitzvah of Zechir Sitzim Tzim, which is a biblical commandment. So essentially, therefore, have a Krishma Daraisa. So you're right, for the Krishma itself, of its own thing, of saying Krishma, those opinions hold that it's only rabbinic because they don't learn B'shach B'chav Kamecha, V'dibar Tabam, that it's going on the words of Shema. They say that's regarding Divrei Torah. So generally, Shema itself in its own right is only rabbinic. But here, Vav Krishma Deraisa, because of the element of Yitzis Mitzrayim. In the third parasha of a Yomer, we say the Yitzis Mitzrayim. So essentially now, because you're not saying Emes V'yatziv, so therefore actually Krishma does become biblical, and therefore that's why we obligate you to think it in contrast to the Birchas Krishma. Now, whereas Emes V'yatziv, the Rabbanan, so now it comes out that actually that's why we don't let you say Birchas Krishma, because if you're saying the Shema, so you already fulfilled your biblical obligation of Yitzis Mitzrayim. So that comes out that the Emes V'yatziv is only like the Birchas Krishma, Sharei Hiske Yitzis Mitzrayim and Krishma, because you already mentioned Yitzis Mitzrayim and Krishma. That's why you don't say the brachas afterwards. But Taisus wonders and says, wait a second. But then you could say the exact opposite. And he says it in part of his answer. He says, Ve'en l'hakshah, don't ask, well, you could say the exact opposite. Nesakin delema Emes V'yatziv, we should institute that, no, say the Birchas Krishma of Emes V'yatziv, because you have the biblical obligation, and we say when it's regarding biblical, then we're going to obligate you to think, you have the biblical obligation of Emes V'yatziv, so be mahar in that Birchas Krishma, v'loy lema Krishma, and don't say Krishma, because essentially Krishma in its own intrinsic worth is only rabbinic. So that we should not obligate you. Why are you saying say Krishma? Because then it's the Raisa, because you're not saying the Birchas Krishma, which then becomes Rabbanan, and so you'll say Krishma, where now it becomes the Raisa, you can say exactly the opposite. Because actually, according to those opinions, on some level, that's really what it's more proper, that the Emes V'yatziv is the Zechis Yitzim Mitzrayim, and the Krishma is only Rabbinic. Says Taisa, no, because the Adif Dilema Krishma, it's better to say Krishma. You're right, we could have equally done the opposite, but it's better to at least fulfill your Yitzis Mitzrayim with Krishma, this being Nami Malchashmaim, because besides doing Yitzis Mitzrayim, which is a biblical obligation, that you're going to have to think in one of those two, better do it with Krishma, because besides that, you're also accepting the yoke of the royalty, the sovereignty of heaven, which is essentially really a Gemara later on, and therefore, Taisa says that's why that makes the Krishma as the derisive form and platform for Yitzis Mitzrayim, and therefore that's why the Mishnah obligated to be Mahar Baliba by Krishma, but not by the Birchas Krishma like by Emes V'yatziv, which now is only rabbinic, and therefore we don't obligate you to be Mahar as a Balkari. Now, continuing the next Taisa, the Ramaschal, Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, Yetzi Bisfasav, where he should say it out with his lips, and Taisa comes to explain what exactly is the Gemara's question. The Gemara wanted to prove from the fact that a Balkari, that he thinks the words of Krishma in his heart, that obviously the thinking is not like speaking. Because if it was like speaking, that's what our Gemara's question, what Taisa is quoting is, well, if it's the same thing as speaking, so then let the Balkari say the words. Why are you telling him to think it? If thinking is like speaking, so just say the words. Why are you saying he cannot say the words? So Taisa explains the Gemara's question as follows. Kivin the show is lay hiru, since you're permitting him, as the Halacha of the Mishnah says, the Balkari to think the words of Shema, even though that according to Ravina, that's like as if you're saying the words in lots of the Krishma, that we're saying you're fulfilling your Krishma obligation by thinking it, so it's like you're speaking it. Well, if that's the case, then Kamaikin, that the same thing should work in the reverse. So Mikri Dibur, so then it's also considered as if you're saying the words, Linin the Mikri Isabik Torah, like as if you're saying the words learning Torah. Now, therefore, says Taisus, Umidisharis Leila Har, so from the fact that we permit you to think the words of Shema to fulfill the mitzvah, Afa Pishu Balkari, even though he's someone that has a similar mission, so then Tatulay Gam Deeper, then you should also permit him to go ahead and say the words, because you're saying is like speaking. Meaning you can't have a double standard. If you're saying thinking is like speaking, that you're fulfilling your obligation, then thinking should be like speaking, and to allow you to also actually say the words of a Balkari, even regarding to the halachas of saying Divrei Torah. And yet, from the fact that we see that, no, we only permit him to think it and not to say it, Obviously, says the Gemara, you see, not like him, not like this opinion of the Gemara, that obviously, because here is lav kadibra dami, it must be that thinking is not like speaking. Because again, if it was, then permit him to say the words with his mouth. Now, however, we continue with the next Tesis of Masl. Tesis begins with the words of the Gemara, kida ashkecham besinai, like we find by Har Sinai, which Tesis comes to explain what's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara rejected the previous Tesis's, according from the Gemara's question. No, you cannot prove from this that they permitted to the Baal Keri to only think the words of Shema, and they did not permit him to say the words to prove that obviously here is Lav Kadibur. Says the Gemara, no, you can reject that proof. It's not difficult in this opinion. Because the reason why they instituted this way was because this is how we find it that it was in history by Har Sinai. Which Tosa explains, Pirish, what the Gemara is answering is yes, we could differentiate. And that is as follows. Avagav de Kadibur Dami, even though, as the previous opinions, we were resolving his opinion, that yes, he says that here is Kadibur Dami. Ravina holds that thinking is like speaking in Shiyatza, regarding that you have fulfilled your obligation of Kriyishma, and therefore, let's say any single person, not just the Baal Keri, if he does think the words of Shema, according to Ravina, has fulfilled his obligation of Kriyishma, Mikam Malkam, even so, it's not difficult, the question that was asked, Lav Kadibur Dami, it's not considered like speaking regarding Le'in Shehi Baal Keri Osalahar, regarding this, that it's forbidden for a Baal Keri to think, which it's forbidden for him to engage in the words of the retirer, meaning you're saying that, okay, here is Kadibur. Now, we know this halacha that a Baal Keri is not allowed to say words of Torah, which includes the parashas of Shema, so that was the Gemara's question, so wait a second. If you're saying it's like Dibur, then let him say the words, but we know he cannot say the words, so what's the difference? How could you say here Kadibur is regarding fulfilling your obligation, but not running into a problem regarding the words of the retirer? Because, as the Gemara later on is going to tell us, that Ezra instituted this concern for a Baal Keri that he shouldn't speak the words of Torah, as we find a precedent, Kedashkechan b'Sinai, like we find by Har Sinai, which, and that's what, that was the format that Ezra relied on his takana, that was by Har Sinai, that Baal Keri should not be engaged in the words of Torah. So and that's his thesis, because the Hayisham, over there by Har Sinai, what was over there? There was Dibur, there was speaking, and Vahayu Tzrichin Litvol. And therefore, Baal Keri has to go to immerse himself in the mikvah, like by Har Sinai, where the men had to separate from the wives 3 days before so that they shouldn't be Baal Keri, there shouldn't be any Zera, which is Metame, but specifically that of Keri, of Shechva Zera. What was the prescription? What was the prohibition over there? That was only because by Har Sinai they were speaking, and the Jewish people were hearing those words. So that's where we had the concern of the problem about learning Torah regarding being Baal Keri. But again, that was only because of words. Here also, the actual concern is, yes, here is Kadibur Dami, we're going to fulfill your obligation. But regarding the problem about Baal Keri and learning Torah, it's not something that of Kadibur. No, Kadibur is not a problem. It's only explicitly like it was over there, and as we find, that was the precedent which the whole institution of Ezra was based on by Har Sinai, was actual deeper, because God was speaking the words over there. And therefore, only over there is Vahayit Tzrich Nitva, that's why they had to immerse, and that's where we're going to have the halacha of Baal Keri, and therefore it's not difficult, although, again, Ravina holds here is Kadibur Dami, but regarding the halacha of Baal Keri speaking words of Torah, it's specifically speaking, and not even the Hiru Kadibur. Now, Tosfos, however, asks, but v'afa pisha yishayiskin, but what do you mean? It's not true. The Jewish people weren't speaking. They, the ones who couldn't be Baal Keri, and they were only listening. So you see that it was even in regards to Hiru. Says Tosfos, no, because shemeya ko'ena. As the Gemara says in Sukkot Avla Mechesem Abeis, what we're talking about over here, the Jewish people weren't just thinking the words of Torah. They were listening to Hashem speaking, to Moshe speaking the words of the Torah. Listening is like saying the words itself. So it was as if they themselves were saying the words. So only regarding saying, I mean, Shemei Kain is not the same thing as here. Here, yes, is Kadibur, but it's not Kadibur regarding the halacha Baal Keri. That was the Gemara's answer. Therefore, only regarding saying is a problem, but thinking, Baal Keri cannot say the parasha of Shema, which has really two things that we're talking about. When you're saying Shema, there's two things, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shema and the fact that they're divrei Torah. From the fact of fulfilling the mitzvah, yeah, that's Hiru Kadibur, thinking is like saying. But regarding the prohibition about saying words of Torah, that is specifically only regarding actual enunciation, as we find by Har Sinai, which even the Jewish people were like, as if they were speaking Shemei Kaina, but regarding here, that wasn't a problem, and therefore that's the Gemara's answer for Ravina. Now, we continue with the next Tesis, the Masl Tesis begins with the words of the Gemara, that the other opinion of the Gemara was Rav Chizdam. He says, no, Lav Kadibur Dami. No, that thinking is not like speaking. Which Tesis comes to bring that Rabbi Nachman rules like this opinion of Rav Chizdam. Which again, like we said, the Gemara brings that Rav Chisda disagrees with Ravina, and he says that no, thinking is not like speaking. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, according to him, so why did the Mishnah say that a Baal Keri should think the words of Shema in his heart, but since you're telling me that it's not like speaking, so it doesn't fulfill anything, so what's the point of thinking? According to Ravina, we know why you're thinking, because it fulfills your obligation, but you can't say it because a Baal Keri cannot say words of Torah. But according to Rav Chisda, what's the point of thinking it? So Rabbi Elazar explains, you're right, it's not fulfilling the obligation of Kriyat Shema. But we just don't want that the whole world, meaning all the people in Shul, they're busy with saying Shema and he's sitting and doing nothing, so we just want him to think those words even though it's not fulfilling his obligation of Shema. And Ravada further qualified and he says, so why didn't you learn something else that the Baal Keri could learn? No, we want it to be something that the Tzibur is engaged in, let him think about what they themselves are saying even though it's not fulfilling his obligation. So Taisa brings that Rach, the Rabbi Nachanal Pirush, he explains the halacha krev chizda. The halacha follows like this opinion of chizda, and that's the halacha that here is lav kedibur. You don't fulfill your obligation with thinking. Now, the proof of this is because meditarzi Rav Ada v'Rebbe Lazar lemilsei, as we just quoted, from the fact that Rav Ada and Rebbe Lazar, that they qualified and explained to resolve the teaching of Rav Chisda. So why are they putting in all the effort to explain his opinion? Shema mina kavasei kame. Obviously, what we learn from that is because they hold like him, and since we see that the proponents of this opinion are being mentioned in the Gemara, that's obviously how we hold, and therefore says Taisus of a lo yatsa b'kriyat Shema here. Therefore, a person, a Baal Keri or a regular person, has not fulfilled their obligation with saying Kriyat Shema by just thinking the words, because we rule like Rav Chisda, as the Gemara seems to indicate that here is lav kedibur dami.